Okay, it's 7 p.m. and it's time to start the meeting. Do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All right, first thing on the agenda is Pledge Allegiance, and then we'll do a moment of silent prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, first thing on the agenda is our presentation for the city audit. And I'm going to call Stephanie right now.
Good evening, Vermont Ackley.
Good evening, Stephanie. How you doing? This is Mayor Bob. I'm doing fine. Can everybody hear okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So everybody can hear okay. So where would you like to start?
Does everybody have a copy of the audit report?
Yes. I gave everybody a copy of the audit report.
Okay. So
I was
just going to go over some highlights quickly,
okay,
and then I can answer any questions. But first, I just wanted to thank the mayor and Dan, especially both of them, for assisting us during the audit and timely responding. It allowed us to complete the audit a little more efficiently this year. So we appreciate that. We have completed the audit of your financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2024. And we completed our audit in accordance with U.S. auditing standards as well as governmental auditing standards. The audit evidence that we obtained during our audit was sufficient to allow us to express an opinion on those on your financial statements. And we have expressed an unmodified or a clean opinion on the June 30, 2024 financial statements of the city. That, if you look on page 2, that's the second paragraph. It states that the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with U.S. generally accepted accounting principles. So that's the clean opinion organizations are looking for. I'll also point out on page 3, there's reference to required supplementary information included in the audit. That is the management's discussion and analysis and budgetary comparison information. If you read through this, you may have noted that we did not express an opinion on that part of the financial statements, and that's standard in governmental audits. So it's required to be presented, but we don't express an opinion on those two items. And then the next paragraph at the top of page 4 refers to the report on internal control and compliance that's included in all governmental audits. So that's the last two pages of the audit report. Any questions thus far?
No, they all shook their head no.
Okay. The management's discussion and analysis on page 5-8, this is just a narrative overview of some financial information. Just like to point out on table 1 and table 2, this is really the only place in the report you'll see comparisons to the last fiscal year. So at the bottom of page 6, you can see the total assets increased to $1,055,000 compared to $959,000 last year. The liabilities went up about $11,000, and then the overall net position of the city was $1,034,000 compared to $1,898 compared to $399,777 last year. And your expenses were up a little bit, $375 compared to $355 last year. Overall, the increase in the net position was $84,000 this year compared to $44,000 last year. So that's the positive direction you want to be going in. Those two tables are really a summary of pages 9 and 10, the actual statements of net position and statement of activities. And then over on page 11, you'll find the balance sheet for the governmental funds. So the city has the general fund, and then you'll see the middle column is the special revenue fund, and that's just the municipal aid road funds that are received. These fund statements are just on a modified cash basis, so you're only seeing current assets and current liabilities, as opposed to statement of net position. Everything is included. All of your capital assets, and if there was long-term debt, that would have been included in those statements as well. So on the fund basis, the total assets were $989,000. Total liabilities, $21,000. There was deferred revenue related to some property taxes of $14,000. And then your fund balance was $953,576. Page 12 is a reconciliation between the two statements. Page 13 is your statement of revenues and expenditures for the year for each fund. Total revenues on a fund basis is $467,000, and total expenditures are $370,000, leaving excess revenues over expenditures during the fiscal year of $97,462. Pages 15 to 20 are notes to the financial statements. Note A is always the summary of significant accounting policies. Those are standard for governmental entities and similar to the city's policies that were in place last year. Over on page 19, note B is a disclosure related to the deposits. It states that the city had approximately $941,000 of cash in the bank at June 30th. And 100% of that was either insured by FDIC insurance or pledged collateral by the bank. So if you were in compliance with that requirement, the capital asset disclosures in note C, and then on page 20 you have disclosures related to property taxes and just some other standard disclosures in a governmental audit. Page 21 and 22 are your budgetary comparison schedules, so actual versus budget. The overall balances were favorable, actual amounts were favorable to budget amounts for both funds during the year. And then on page 24 and 25, this is the report on internal control and compliance that I mentioned. It describes the internal control testing that we've done. We don't express an opinion on internal control, but we, based on our review and observations, we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control that would be defined as a material weakness. And then also on our test of compliance, there's several things we do related to that, and there were no instances of non-compliance at the city during this past fiscal year. That was a very quick overview of the audit report. So a clean opinion on the statements. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now, or you can always reach out to me at any time, really.
Does anybody have any questions at all? They're all shaking their head no again.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate the work you've done, Stephanie, and we look forward to next year again, since we've already got that letter of agreement that go ahead.
The only thing I think we have left to do is I will send PDF electronic copy of this report to the Department of Local Government in the morning, and I'll copy you on that. So
okay, great.
That should take you. Yep.
All right. Well, great. We appreciate all the hard work, like I said, and if hopefully everything will go fine next year. We've got a new commission coming on or the 1st of January, so we'll be working with you again next year. So,
okay, if anything comes up in the meantime, don't hesitate to call me, though.
Okay.
All right.
All right. You have a blessed evening, okay?
You too. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, with that, we need to have a motion to accept the audit.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Beville.
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, unanimous. Okay. Next, we'll... again, introduce ourselves. I think Christine's here. Really interesting tonight. I'm Mayor Stoneham. And
Dan Small, Treasurer.
Dennis Metcalf, Commissioner.
Crystal Allen, Property Maintenance.
Susan Moffin, Utility.
Linda B. Vail, Road Commissioner.
Okay. Is there anybody who's got any comments or questions or anything they want to bring up? Okay, if not, we're going to move right along so we can get along. Okay. September 17th, 2024, city meeting minutes. Did anybody find any additional things that need to be taken care of on that? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes for September 17th meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. You did the motion on the audit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I got to catch up. Bev is out because she became ill. And it was Beville and Adams, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. City's financial reports. Dan found him a problem yesterday. And I answered and replied to them this morning. We made the corrections. They were posted on the website. Pertained to, we had approved the August Derby City Protection invoice, but for some reason, it never made it through the system. And anyhow, we didn't get the September invoice. We thought it was the August invoice, or the September invoice is what we received the first part of October. So, anyhow, that's the reason why it's off of the expense review. And I emailed Tate to let him know that we will have to go through the approval process for the September invoice at the next meeting.
So he's kind of behind like a month or like a few weeks or something, so there's going to be two invoices?
Like there was last month. There was July and August on last month because they have went on vacation and they didn't get the July in, and they came with the August. And so for whatever reason, the September didn't get done. And so we'll be getting September and October for on next month's expense review, hopefully. Hopefully we'll get at least a September one. I'm not sure. We've been on them to get these invoices in on time. But this is the earliest. The 15th is always the earliest one. It's always the hardest to get everybody to get their invoices in. So is there any other questions or corrections that need to be done on the financial reports. Okay, do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports for September?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. The invoices and receipts went around. Did they come in done?
Yeah. That's,
okay.
That's the reason.
All right. Okay. All right.
And the Costco receipts.
All right. I'll issue these in a minute. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is the contracting. And I know Linda sent out all the, that ain't gonna work. It's thicker than that. But I'll put them on here. Did everybody get a chance to look at the proposals that came?
I've got the numbers if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead and go over the numbers with us.
Well, what we decided, remember we were going to go with the flat rate instead of hourly. So I contacted everybody, asked them for a flat rate. Mo Betters is $31.10. Minor and Company, their magic salt application is $4,100. Then it ranges from $1,900 to $2,900 per foot, depending on the depth of the snow. Okay? And Goodman, he didn't submit a...
He didn't want to do non-hourly.
But anyway, that's what we've got. So
yeah, Mo Betters pushes is $750 flat.
Right.
Okay.
Flat. Yeah.
And I'll add that I know who the other carrier or the other contractor is because we used to use them, and they were charging $4,000 on every load too. So again, that is the reason probably why we're going to stick with what we did. I'm going to make the motion that we stick with Mo Better.
I'll second it.
Okay. And
I'd like to say one thing about Minor and Company. I was going to pull my old phone and read the text message, but the last text message that he sent to me was that he had no interest in working with me and Mayor Stoneham at all when I was road commissioner. He was extremely unprofessional, disrespectful, argumentative, and there's no way I was going to vote for Minor and Company.
Really?
Yeah.
Carol, you worked with him, didn't you, when you were road commissioner?
Billy Minor?
Yeah.
Loved him. I could call him in the middle of the night, and it was fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he was getting a lot of, like, hospital stuff that was bigger than us, and he didn't want to deal with us because we were small. And he didn't like having his people being sent back out because they were blocking driveways or they're blocking mailboxes and stuff, and we had to ask them to keep coming back out to do so the post office could deliver mail and stuff. They're blocking mailboxes a lot, and he did not like that very much. So I don't know. I mean, his text message did say I was up 53 hours and I'm really tired, so this, you know, might not come across very well, but I'd
have stayed off my phone if I'd been up 53 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I took it to be very unprofessional and disrespectful. I think he should have gotten some sleep before he sent that to me, that last text message.
Yeah.
That was one good thing with Mo Better, is they didn't block driveways.
Yeah, I feel like Mo Better takes pride, you know, yes, because he lives here, just like Harold with the mowing. You know, Mo Better lives here as well in Worthington Hills, and they really do take pride in what they do.
Some people can't go out and dig up a big mound of snow from out in front of the driveway.
Well, that's very true.
They just can't. So Mo Better did a great job.
Okay. So with that,
You made the motion, not
seconded. Yeah, we made a motion and we've had it seconded. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's unanimous again. All right. So I'll be putting that contract together just like we've been doing. We'll just do the same thing as we've done in the past and get both of us to initial or sign off on it. So, all right. Old business. Has anybody got any of the commissioners got any old business they want to bring up? Other than the what's on my list?
Yeah. I'll have to talk about free stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
Anybody else have anything?
Okay, go ahead.
You want to talk about speed bumps?
Only that they got the thermoplastics put back down on the...
On the speed bumps in Bay Run?
The speed bumps on Bay Run, so they look good. It didn't take them long to get it done.
Nope. There's only four of them.
Mm-hmm.
So cut. So with that, we'll move along to tree removal. What's going on?
All right. I went ahead and printed Harold's bill, which is in
expenditure.
So this right here, the tree removal came out at $69.50 for all of that stuff that we talked about last month. So he did come in under the $7,500.
Yeah.
So that covers that. We still have the 6 to 7 dead locust trees. I talked with Harold of Maximus Long Care. He said that because we didn't accept the bid when he did all this, that the guy would have to come out and rebid it. It's probably going to still be the same, but you know there might be like some like trip charge or something like that for him to have
to come out. How much is that going to make it total though?
This is already done. $69.50 is already done. Well, he said that he will have to come back out and quote the locust trees and everything like that.
Okay.
And I do recommend that we do that. I did ask him to go ahead and re-quote it and everything like that so we can get those locust trees done, because with us saying that they are dead, if they do fall on somebody's fence, then we are liable. So I do recommend that we get that done soon. With regards to the grab repair tree stuff, I went ahead and printed this out. Sorry, I only printed 3.
That's okay.
You can have one in a moment. So,
what's it say?
It's $1,980 to remove both of the trees. Harold wants to do it right, so he wants to grind out the stumps. He wants to pull the rock back, grind out the stumps, and put the rock back. He just feels like doing it right is the best way to do it. And if you are going to remove the island or do whatever, that would have to be done anyway. So, 1980.
Oh, this is for the first island. Okay.
Yeah, the front island. This is to remove the two pear trees at the front island.
$1,980?
Yes.
Both of them with the tree stump removals?
Yes.
No, I don't see it. I can visualize that.
He said that doesn't include, I called him today because I asked him and he didn't send anything back because he's out of town and all that. I asked him, I said, well, does that include moving the rocks and this and that? You know, he said, this number includes him moving the rocks and putting the rocks back, but if there needs to be any more landscape fabric or any additional rock, that would be extra.
I think we should remove the trees, grind the stumps, and leave it alone until...
Yeah.
Spring.
Yeah, because we drill a hole in what the stumps left and put some kind of decoration in.
There you go. No, I mean, there's no point in spending any more money on it,
in my
opinion.
Yeah, and we really
other than
do,
this.
Yeah, and we really do need to take care of the locust trees, too, I think, so...
Yeah, we have them all. If they can do it all in one day, it'd be great.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking, you know, and he said that he would do that. He said that he could have him come back out and quote, you know, the locust trees, and then he could do all of this, you know, all at once.
Right.
If you guys are okay with that, you know, I guess I can present at the next meeting the quote for the locust trees, and then we can vote on all of it.
Well, the problem is then we're in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the previous quote for all the locust trees?
I don't have that. I didn't bring that. It was around like $4,500, I think. I'd have to pull my emails.
We'll pull your email, and we'll move along and come back, okay?
And then the other thing I wanted to say, which is kind of new business, we had all the high winds and the power outage and all that, but I had no citizen reports and no Herald reports.
We got no trees left.
yeah, I had no trees or limbs down, so I don't have any new stuff that I need to remove.
Right.
That is good.
Well, we've got a tree down, and I'm sure it's not the city's responsibility to move it. I'll show you a picture of it.
Where's it at?
It's over against the fence, over on the property, but against by the fence. Let's see if I can get the picture. Oops.
Which fence?
Here it is.
Okay, and that's over at Trey's?
Yeah, it's on the, it fell down, it looks like, I don't know where it came from.
Oh, is that as you go into it, or is it?
No, it's at the very end.
At the very end.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a trace removal.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
I didn't
know for sure, but I figured it probably was. And we now I will say this though, we were very fortunate.
It didn't come
and I want everybody to remember we had the thing with the room key and couldn't put the things and all that. And so what we did was I called LG&E and they came out and trimmed those trees.
Right, yeah, I saw
which
that.
Which they should have.
Yes.
It shouldn't have been up to Trace to trim those trees on that easement.
No, anytime you've got telephone or power lines, okay, it's always utility companies that are supposed to come out and do that. They've been doing it throughout Worthington Hills and Coldstream over the past summer.
Oh, okay.
On their own. It's a standard thing they do. They've got a schedule where they send out, well, apparently they must send out some observer to check out the power line situation, and then they mark down a number of them.
I found the email. So the locust trees between Rustburg and Queen Anne's Court, all of them to be removed with stumps is $4,200 is what he originally quoted.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that if it comes in there close abouts, I mean, if it's less than $5,000 for those, okay, that we go ahead and schedule it along with the Bradford pears for the 1980 so we can get this done. So that's my motion to remove them if it's less than the $5,000.
Okay.
And the Bradford chairs also.
So remove,
at their current cost.
Remove as many as possible for $5,000.
No.
Under $5,000.
Remove those seven locust trees that we know are dead.
Yeah, I think it's six now because he did remove one.
Oh, he did remove one.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that was on the other. Says. Large downed locust tree and the locust tree with the top broken out in the holding pond between Rustbury and Queen Anne. So he already, there was one that already fell. There's
okay.
other ones that are standing that are dead.
Okay.
There was one that already fell that he already
okay, well, we just need to go with, if it's under $5,000, because
okay.
I don't think it's going to go up. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be the $4,200
right.
Yeah.
Plus maybe another bid fee or travel fee.
But if they've already, if the $4,200 was for all of, or more than
yeah,
what's
I mean,
there
if
now.
He, yeah, if the $4,200 was that other tree,
yeah.
But I don't think it is because up above here it said down locust and cherry tree, which was the cherry tree was in Mecklenburg and then the down locust tree, and it said $5,280.
Right,
so, and
they're
on here, right?
Yes. I mean, he didn't line itemize it, right. But yes. All right, just my motion is $5,000 or less for the trees that need to go on the green space.
Okay.
Okay. And the 1980 for the Bradford pears. All right, but
they won't do the 4,200. We still want them to do the 1980.
Right, but don't tell them that we've approved it.
Just say 4,200 plus travel fee.
No, I wouldn't even tell them plus travel fee. If the guy wants a business, He wants business. Usually they come out and do the appraisals for free.
But Harold's doing the pears, and these guys are doing the locals.
No.
Right?
Harold,
no, they're going to do all.
Harold don't cut trees down.
Yeah, Harold doesn't. Okay. He's not, like, insured. He's not insured to cut down trees.
So
well,
technically,
great.
Yeah.
Because I've had three or four removed, and it was about that price, so.
Okay. So we got it?
You said I'm not supposed to tell them something. What is
it? Don't tell them what we've agreed to. Just tell them we've agreed that we've agreed that they need to be done.
Okay.
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 And that they have a price limit, but we need the estimate first. Okay. You've got the approval if it's $5,000 or less.
Okay.
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 Not including. That's $5,000 for the locust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, $69.80
right.
For the locust.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And hopefully we can get it down to like $6,000, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion. I'll have to figure it out when I listen to it.
All right. So at the next meeting, hopefully I will have more numbers and more trees to report.
No, we don't want any more trees.
Well, we want those removed. Hopefully by next meeting they'll be removed.
Right. But we don't want any more trees having to come down. I mean.
Yeah. I know this has been an expensive one.
JCLC's having a meeting on Thursday. And in that, it's going to be about Louisville's tree canopy.
Yeah.
Okay. And Worthington Hills is down on the bottom end, you know, of where they would like us to be. All right.
Oh, they want us to put more trees in?
Yeah. They obviously, they like canopy cover, okay, which I can understand, okay. But at the same time, you know, what goes up will eventually come down. And unfortunately, that's what happens. So, hopefully we can, my input's going to be, if you want more tree canopy, Metro Louisville is going to have to donate some more trees.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, that's the key issue. You guys want the tree canopy? I got a whole bunch of land out there that you can plant all you want on it, okay? Okay. New radar speed signs.
We still have one sign.
Yeah, we still have one sign, and I keep saying we're going to figure out where to put it, but it's so hard to. What we have in Worthington Hills is we have speed bumps, and the problem is finding a place to put a radar sign that makes it so they're not coming up on, or they're speeding from one, like. The one we have on the three that we have on Northumberland, the one at the flagpole catches it at the top of the hill. So they've only got one speed hump. So they catch them speeding down the hill, and apparently it stays on for a certain period of time because it'll go off for a second and come back on and pick up the speed again. So when they get to the speed hump, sometimes they're in the green, but as soon as they get headed towards the flagpole, they're back in the red. Same thing once you get over the top of the hill going out towards Westport Road. They come over the top of the hill. They get caught, and it's flashing red, and then they slow down to the speed hump. And then a lot of people, I don't know how many, but I would say about 75% of them, okay, obey the speed limit sign, okay? We still have that few that seem to think that they can see how quick they can get that speed limit sign up to where it's flashing. You know, they want to see what their speed is. So, anyhow, I believe they're working. But there again is, Tate's crew has been advised about rolling stop signs, use of turn signals, speeding, you know, and I've emphasized headlights out, because we're now getting into winter, mm-hmm. and it's darker longer. And all it's going to take is for somebody driving down the street with one headlight out, and next thing you know, they got no headlights.
My son had that happen, because he's only 18, and he was driving around, not here, not in Worthington Hills. He doesn't live in Worthington
right.
Hills, but he was driving, and he didn't replace his headlight fast enough, and then the other one went out, and he had no headlights for like a day.
Right.
That's extremely dangerous. You need to fix that.
Usually when one's gone out, if you haven't had an accident, like some of these vehicles have been bashed, okay, but it needs to get fixed, okay? But if you don't have any damage to the vehicle and one headlight goes out, there's a pretty good chance that other one's going out really soon afterwards because they usually go out pretty much at the same time.
They're in at the same time.
So good. Why. I don't have a radio. I don't have a clock.
Okay.
But I do have headlights.
Can I back up on the trees? You motioned and he seconded. Did we need to vote or are we okay?
Didn't we vote?
I don't think we voted.
We didn't.
Nope. No. Oh, I'm sorry.
We didn't.
All right, we'll motion. Okay, the motions have been made for the tree removal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, since we're talking about signs, I'm still waiting on you all, you and Dennis, to tell me about those signs. I mean, we know what we want. I just need somebody to give, either let me send you or somebody the list, and whoever's got the credit card can order them. I mean,
okay,
that's
all right.
Thing that's stopping us.
Send me the list. Then Dennis, are you... Are you busy on Friday when we go to the post office?
I don't think so.
Okay, if we'll go and check everything on Friday.
Okay.
Okay. If everything's fine, we'll get I'll come over with the credit card and we'll get them ordered.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I'd hate to see you all standing out there in the middle of wintertime
putting them in the hard frozen ground.
Right. Well, some of them don't need poles.
No, but. I'm just saying.
But my fingers are already tingling, so just with it cold out there tonight. All right. So, we're working on getting the speed sign. I keep saying every day, every Friday, Dennis, remind me, we're going to figure out where to put the speed sign. So, when we're doing the sign check this week, we'll do that. Okay, also. Nothing on the welcoming commissioners yet. Are you all working on your listing of job duties?
Yes.
I've got a whole page already. All you
got
to do is keep a notebook, right, and as soon as you think about it, write it down. And that's what I did one day. I was sitting there, and I thought, okay, well, I'm goofing off here. I don't goof off. But while I'm watching TV, I'll think about it. It doesn't take long. I mean, I went boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Includes your vendor's phone number, your account numbers.
Yeah,
that helps to have.
Oh,
your account number.
Yeah,
your tax ID number. Yeah, because I remember the first time they asked me that down at the water company, and I was like,
I've got mine on a document that I keep up because it never fails. If I have to call up the Heartland, what's your tax ID number? Well, what's the last four? Well, I know my account number. That's not going to help. And so usually they just, I have it up all the time so I can get to it. All right. Emergency equipment radio checks.
I'm going to use channel 13 again.
Channel 13.
And I won't be available until about 10 o'clock or so.
Okay.
That's a bed, Dennis. I need to go to bed.
For all you that are still up at 10 o'clock, radio Dennis. All right.
You all don't keep those on all the time because when my power went out on Moray Court, I went to Channel 1 and I reported that, but no one responded.
I had mine on, but I didn't hear anybody. I actually
down because mine's right beside my bed. So
maybe I didn't turn it on right away because it.
Yeah, I mean, it
my power stayed on. The thing is, my power stayed on.
Yeah.
And somebody called me and told me about it. So
it was probably 7 or 7:30 that night when it first went out. I think.
Yeah, I put it there because of the storm.
Yeah.
I must have turned it down though.
Yeah, I got like two phone calls. One guy told me that his power was off.
I got your email several days later after.
Well, it was stuck in the in backup mail.
Yeah, it was stuck in the loop because we didn't have an email or internet or whatever.
Yeah.
I had 2 9-up voicemails, so someone must have been calling thinking that the city could do something.
Well, I got an email.
My power's off. What are you going to do about it?
The same guy called me.
They were out there on Northumberland. I mean, they were there within like an hour.
And see, the same guy that called Dennis called me or emailed me, and he says, well, they're on Northumberland. When are they going to get this power back on?
They had to wait for the tree services.
So
they sat there all night, probably. You know, it seemed like they were there all night.
Well, what I did was I got on LG&E's website and then copied the a screen copied and sent it to them. And it says, it isn't like they aren't working on it.
Yeah.
So that does happen. All right. Anything else on old business before we move to new business? Okay. Any new business from the commissioners?
I have one small thing for new business. There is a person over there on Arwine who doesn't love the bushes. She has stated that I guess they used to have picnics in that little area. And I guess children used to run around and play in that little area, and that is impeding that at this time. And also, there were citizens that were cutting that grass, which Harold is aware of, and Harold thanked them and gave them food occasionally and drink and things for being nice and doing that. Harold has been over there throughout the summer cutting the grass, but he's doing it like every 2 weeks, I think, and it's not enough for her. So she complained again on like Monday, I think, and I emailed her back, and I was like, yeah, you know, there's just a lot going on. I went ahead and disclosed about Harold's father and everything like that and the cancer. And so I was like, you know, there's just a lot going on, and, you know, thank you for, you know, checking it out and letting me know about it. I'll let him know again, this and that. I sent my daughter over there on Sunday and had her cut the grass just so, and even my daughter was like, it wasn't that bad. It was like 6 inches tall. It wasn't major. Harold was out of town. That's why I sent her over to cut the grass. Harold came back with his camper on Sunday afternoon, and I didn't end up speaking to Harold, but he went over there Sunday evening, you know, and cut and weeded it and blew it off and everything. So I think we're fine for this season because it's mid-October, but I feel like those bushes are going to be an issue. You know, she's like, it's unacceptable, it's unsightly, this and that. You know, so she's kind of requesting them to be removed. I don't know that we can move them without killing them. But that's just going to be an issue for the new commissioner in the spring, I think, maintaining that area and making sure that the grass...
Why don't you ask Harold when's the best time to move them?
Okay.
Because we put them in about this time last year, if I remember. Because we got them on...
They actually stayed at Harold's house all winter.
Oh,
and we
did.
Put them in the spring because I was looking at my old commissioner report and I called 811 in like March. So we put them in.
Why are they unacceptable?
She just doesn't like them.
I'll tell you why. They had street get-togethers on the 4th of July and they like to shoot fireworks off from there.
I mean, one of them has two really tall things.
Yeah.
They just
need to be...
Like, they need to be pruned.
Yeah.
The one needs to be pruned.
Are they the Myrocrite Cardinals?
No, they're the Euonymus bushes.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, she complained earlier in the summer, you know, like after I put them in like a month or something, it was like May or June, and she's like, well, one of them's already dead. And I was like, no, it's not dead. It just, it wasn't doing
it. It was in shock,
All the leaves had dropped, and it wasn't getting a lot of water in the pot, you know, and I even thought it. I was like, Harold's
going to
kill these.
So what is this part of the green space?
A little island in the center of
Arwine
cul-de-sac. And that's where we put them because it was just round and grass.
So it's an island in the middle of the street. And
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the citizens were maintaining it because this guy has a tractor over there, and he would just run his tractor over it. But now he doesn't want to do that because the bushes are in the way, so he's like, I'm not mowing it at all. And that's fine. It's not their responsibility to mow it. It never was.
Right.
But she's asking for the bushes to be removed so they can start mowing it again because Harold's not mowing it frequently enough, in her opinion. So...
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll let the new commission decide what to do, but...
Okay, I will ask Harold about moving, you know, when's the best time. I mean, I think spring is fine if you all want to vote and move them, if you all want
to
leave
but
them.
But if you have just a grassy area, are you saying we need to make sure they can use it to set off fireworks?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. Maybe that should be in part of the replies that they were put there so people couldn't gather to set off fireworks.
Well, yeah, that wasn't my original intent. My original intent was just, hey, there's nothing there. We have these bushes. Let's put it there. You know, it was his suggestion. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, remind her that those trees are now gone from behind her property because of us reporting to the code enforcement, okay?
How do you know who it is?
I know who it is. She's called me about it.
Oh, about the bushes?
Which, yeah, she's called me about the grass.
Oh.
Okay. So.
And I do drive by and check on the status and make sure the thing isn't dying and make sure the grass, you know, I'm trying to drive, and I asked her, I said, thank you for being my eyes on this because it's dark now and I'm not getting home until after dark and things, and she didn't love that I complimented her.
I haven't had a chance to get over in the subdivisions today. Those two places that we talked about there on Bay Run that were so bad with the overgrown and all that stuff.
Yeah, I had called 311 on the one when Don Eichenberger was here, and then about, I don't know, it got taken care of. It was pretty... It's all sticks and everything. But, yeah, 3810, I believe it is, got taken care of. And then I called on 3808 before the last meeting, and I don't know. Have you been by there?
I talked with the code enforcement supervisor.
Yeah, that's right. There were some emails with code enforcement. They were first saying, it's not us.
Yeah,
we can't
they,
do anything.
Yeah, that was the original. And again, I'm not – I don't know what they're – thought process down there, but they've made some changes on the Manning. Anyhow,
how are they? How is it not?
Well, I got his name. I called down, left a message. I didn't expect to get anything called back right away. I figured it'd be the next week. No, I got a call back the next day. I spoke with him. I told him that we've never had this problem before. Whenever anything's hanging over the sidewalk that was a bush. I says, I even had a bush that used to hang over the street and got told about it, and I had to cut it. I says, this is a normal thing. I says, this was a complaint that originally came from a apparently a citizen because they walked the sidewalk. And I says, I sent you the pictures, and it's very obvious the fence line's right up against the sidewalk, and the bushes are coming out of the fence line. Well, now that you say that, I see that. Okay. So he sent Michelle back out, the code enforcement, Benzer or something like that. And she went out that following Monday. After I talked to him on Thursday, she went on Monday. She not only she reported that, but she also reported that there's a vehicle that was parked on unpaved surface. So that was also included. Okay. So they had been notified, but as of, I think, yesterday when I went by.
They haven't done it yet.
They hasn't fixed that fence line yet. So they had 2 weeks from the date of that, and that was last Monday. So next Monday is 2 weeks. So hopefully they will have done something by then. But I had a good long talk with them and explained to them, you know, that this is one of the things that we've been doing to try to improve the aesthetics of the city out here is to make sure that people are taking care of the the gross stuff. I mean, we can live with some of the stuff, but I says we've got people that have got pods in their yard for weeks on end, cars that are unlicensed out here, now they've got covered again. I says there's houses that aren't being lived in for whatever reason. I said, we got all kinds of things out here that really need to be addressed, but we don't really have the knowledge or the resources to actually report or get these things done. That's the reason why we've been using code enforcement since we took over in 19. I said the previous administration didn't do much other than send out letters to the people. I says, you know, I look at it from the echelon of governmental agencies. I says, we're the bottom pole. I says, you all have ordinances that we have to follow. So that's the reason why we're reporting them to you. So he got the message. I put it that way. We had a nice meeting. And he's told me that I can call him anytime if I need to. I've got his personal phone number. So if we have something that really is needing immediate attention, I've been putting it on the website. And at the end of all my reports, I put report submitted by City of Worthington Hills. And that's how I told him that we would identify the ones that we're reporting so that he knows that he's actually got something to look at. Because a lot of times he says what they do is he'll have, and we know this all happens, revenge. So one neighbor will talk about another neighbor and they'll get into that. And he says that becomes an issue because it takes time. I says, yeah, I know. Been there, done that, you know? So, anyhow, that's been, we have a good relationship with the code enforcement division. So, just be patient with them. They've had people moved around down there. Anthony, who was out here, Tony, he liked to be called, he took a position with the building inspecting, the permits. So, he's got that now. And so what they've done is they've rearranged the areas, and it's not always going to be the same person out here, which then I brought up. I said, that's a problem, because if one code enforcement officer writes up a notice of violation and then he doesn't come back out and another person comes out.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, because 3810... I was like, man, 3810 is going to look across the street and be like, how come they can do this, but I got cited.
Right. So he understands our issue. And I told him, I says, if they're going to come back out here, if you've got them rotating throughout the neighborhoods, then when they come back out here, please have them check up on the stuff they previously reported on so that we can get the citations issued if they haven't met. Because we've got an issue with a house on Rustburg Place, okay? And it's been taken care of partially. So I don't know what's going on there now. That original problem was reported last April, and it got reported again in July. They inspected again in July. Then it got inspected again in September. And it's got a follow-up. I think it's dated later this month. So, anyhow.
I never will forget the time that I got this call from this lady, and she said, are people allowed to have chickens in the city? And I said, yes, they can have chickens in the city. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
She said, are they allowed to hang them in their tree? I never will forget that.
Yeah.
I said, well, no, they're not.
There is chickens allowed in the city, but no roosters.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we do have a rooster somewhere in the city. I can tell you that much because I've heard it a number of times.
Yeah, I hear it.
It's over off of Queen Anne's. Yeah, I'm almost sure.
Yeah, that's where it sounds like it's coming from.
Yeah.
I do have a question. Do you remember when that realtor called me and I forwarded you the email and then you said the property wasn't in Worthington Hills about building a detached garage? Do you remember where that was? Was it one of the condominiums up front or the townhomes or?
No, it wasn't even in our area. I mean, it's in the Worthington, you know.
I just wanted to put it on my report.
It's not interesting. I couldn't even, I can't even begin to tell you where. It's over in the Willow. You know, across from 22?
Oh, okay. Like,
not Willow.
Worthington or Worthington Glen
yeah.
or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
I thought, well, I'm going to check this out and see where it's at. I'm like, well, you're not even in
there. That's not even our street. Okay.
We're getting ready to replace all the staircases at Trace Condominiums. I need to know, to whom do we give our permits?
Jefferson County.
Okay.
It's on the website. There's a phone number.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, the builders will do that, but I just want to make sure if anybody
ask for the permit before they start.
Okay.
Okay. That's all you need to do. As property owners, anytime you have any HVAC, electrical, building type stuff, if you need to ask if they've got a permit, okay? Some things don't need to have a permit. Roofing normally doesn't need a permit. But if they change something on the roof, it does require a permit. We have one on North Dumplin there at 3814 this last summer because I was like, now we've got to get permits for roofs. And so I called down and talked with the inspector. He says, no, they did some changes on the roof, and I don't remember what it was, but if they did some changes on it, it had to have an inspector. And by the way, when the inspector came out, he found problems with it, so they had to come out and readjust it. So it is important, especially on the water heaters. Water heaters go through the plumbing inspector, which isn't on Metro's website. It's a Frankfurt job duty. They have an office here in Louisville, but I have his address too, or his email address and phone number. So those are things that are important. Gas water heaters especially.
Yeah.
Gas furnaces. You know, you get carbon monoxide poisoning, you don't even know it. And both gas water heaters and gas furnaces can cause that. And I can tell you what it'll do to you. Because I've had the experience when I was in the Azores, we had a couple that died from one of the older gas water heaters that they had. This was in the Azores, and basically it just heated up water as it came on. It didn't have a tank, and it put out 1 million particles per square inch of carbon monoxide when they did the test on it. The people died in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had taken a shower before they went to bed, and even though the shower was off, the carbon monoxide was still in the house. So they just naturally passed away.
Hmm.
So it can happen, and this is why you need to be very, very observant when you're driving around. Okay? All right. Anything else on old business? We're on new business. That's right.
It looks like you have irrigation systems on right here, so I guess I need to call Evergreen. Time to call Evergreen.
Yeah. That needs to be done as soon as possible. So I've turned the systems off already. Okay, I turned them off after the hurricane. Okay. I just turned them off.
Yeah, we got plenty of water.
So I turned them off. You know, I did that because I'm thinking we're in October, and I didn't bring this up at the last meeting, so we need to get the water.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I saw that water bill. I was like, oh, I wonder when we turn those off. Did we turn those off in September?
So we need to contact the water company and have them turn the meter off on all three locations. And that's the main entrance, Boynton, and the flagpole.
And it probably won't work, and they'll probably charge us money.
Yeah, they don't charge to turn it off. They charge to turn it back on, but we never get charged to turn it back on.
I know,
because
but they still claim that we have a leak and everything.
No, we don't have any more leaks. No, they, because when we're getting the water bills now, they had that little graph, mm-hmm. okay? And it's supposed to show where there's leaks, but there's no leak up front no more. That's where our leaks was, and they were telling us that the flagpole, and it wasn't at the flagpole, it was up front.
Is that when we had the $400-some-odd water bill?
No, but we had like a $70 water bill last November, and I'm like, why are we, you know, they charged us like 6,000. They said 6,000 gallons, and we didn't even run the water. We didn't
right.
even turn it on last year and water anything.
Right.
So I think when they changed out the meter to the whatever, they changed it out and did a digital meter, I think they wasted some water and charged us.
Yeah, well, they did that to a lot of people.
But they claimed that we had a leak. And that's why we, you know, leaked 6,000 gallons, but then it mysteriously just went away.
Well, while I'm sitting here, I want to thank Carol Campbell. She called me, what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago?
Saturday.
Yeah. She was coming back into the city and saw that a citizen was down at 3802 Northumberland. And the person's foot was stuck in a hole and on the sidewalk. And I'm like, we don't have a hole in the sidewalk. Yeah, we do have a hole in the sidewalk. Come find out, though, after further investigation, she was there with us to talk to the water meter, where the water meter is.
Mm-hmm.
The guy stepped on the top, and apparently there was so much erosion underneath the water meter that it just gave way.
Wow.
And there was water down there, so the apparently it had a leak and it had been eroding away the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So
it looked like it was just loose when I inspected it.
Well, they say that there was usually ground underneath, but there was water.
Yeah, there was water
in it. I looked in there. It was about that deep.
Yeah.
And there was water in there, and it didn't look like dirt to me.
What I'm saying is there's dirt that holds the water meter up. Usually it's packed around it. But anyhow, make a long story short.
It looked like concrete to me under there. I don't know, but it.
I called.
I opened it and looked at it.
I notified Susan.
Did it break anything or?
He had lacerations.
Yeah, it was already bruising, and his wife, she had the dog on a leash, and she was taking pictures, but he was still on the ground, and it was all bruised, and when I say bloody, I mean it was scraped.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, and he was just so.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I had talked to her the day before about another issue, and so she just basically called me off of that phone call, and I got a hold of Susan, and Susan reported it to the utility company, to the water company, and I can't believe, you know, again, this is probably taking over you, but I can't believe they got out there that same day and put barriers up after I went down with some.
Talked to them. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they did.
Yeah, they wanted to investigate. They wanted the person's information.
Yeah, I went down shortly after she called. They were gone already, but I had some of these yard sale signs, ones that are just the U shape. So I had two of those, and I crisscrossed them and put markers on them, bags. Garbage bags.
Well, at least it said it warned people.
Right. It was covering them up. So when I went.
So they're not going to sue us.
They can't sue us. It's not us.
The water company possibly.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad Carol was there, because we were able to
document
that the fact that that's a water meter there, and the problem is they're we're not liable for their equipment. Okay. So they know that. Okay.
There was something peculiar about this lid. Either, I mean, it went, it shouldn't have been able to fall inside.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like, I didn't see, it's almost like the wrong size lid was on there. Something was peculiar.
Something was missing on the lid.
It wasn't like attached.
Yeah.
Something, I feel like it had been tampered with before. That's the impression I got.
Well, see, I couldn't see whether it was one of the new ones or not. It's a new one.
No, it's an old one.
It's an old one. They didn't.
Old.
Yeah. So The old ones they have to
well,
every month, every other month, when they come out to do the water meters, okay, they have to open that up to get that reading on the old ones. So that's probably what happened then. They didn't get that lid back all right, and it fell in. So we'll let them, you know, they're...
It was something peculiar with it.
Okay. So that's it with what's on my agenda. If nothing else, then we'll move along to the commissioner reports.
I'll go first. I'm long.
Okay. Commissioner Mulpin.
Okay. October utility commissioner report. 923 voicemail, caller hung up. 925 voicemail from Angela with Bramall Auditors in regards to the audit questionnaire. I returned a call for assistance. 926, I emailed Angela the completed audit questionnaire. 930, voicemail hung up. 101, voicemail hung up. 101, email from Bev regarding additional charges on the October Rumpke invoice. $10.4560 was the amount. I emailed her back saying that I would email Christopher Pierce with Rumpke. I drove the city for streetlight check. 10-2, I emailed Christopher Pierce in regards to the additional charges. He emailed back stating the charges were deleted from our bill, that the charges may have been the increase from a few months back for city carts and dumpsters, or a work order may have been put in for the Trace Condos dumpsters. But the charges were taken off the city's bill. I got an email from Commissioner Beville stating that trees at 11905 Texel Drive had been trimmed. We discussed that at the last meeting. And that the dumpster should be able to go back in its place. 10-3, I emailed Commissioner Beville back and told her I would give this information to Christopher Pierce with Rumpke. I emailed Christopher Pierce thanking him for the billing clarification and asking for the dumpster to be put back in its place. 10-3, observed streetlight on ground at 4026 Pacelli Place. I called LG&E and reported it to the emergency line. A work order was put in. 10-4, Christopher Pierce emailed back saying he asked the route manager or driver to put the dumpsters back in their place. I also received a call from a voicemail from Kentucky and a property management in regards to the down street light at 4026 Pacelli Place. 10-3 continued. I emailed Mayor Stone and Dennis Metcalf letting them know about the street light. 10-5, return call to Kentucky and property management and told them the down street light had been reported to LG&E. 10-6, received email from Trust Condos in regards to placement of dumpsters blocking assigned parking spaces at 119-3 Tazewell Drive. 10-8, received text from Commissioner Beville with photos of where Rumpke had placed their dumpsters that morning. I emailed Christopher Pierce and attached photos in Trust Condos' email. 10-8, voicemail from resident requesting garbage pickup info. Resident did not leave name. 10-10, return call, no answer. 10-10. Okay. 10-11, call, or 10-10, return call, no answer. 10-11, called resident again and left voicemail with garbage pickup info. 10-12, call for Mayor Stoneman in regards to a resident falling through a water meter cover at 3802 North Umberland. He stated the resident stepped on it and fell through, and the resident was bruised up. I drove to the site and observed a large stick sticking out of the open water meter on the sidewalk at 3802 Northumberland. I called the water company and left a message on the emergency line. The water company returned my call and was sending a worker out, and the rep I spoke with wanted information on the resident. I informed him none was given except for the resident being bruised up. I called Mayor Stone for more information. He had the resident who witnessed the fall email me. She emailed and stated that she was coming home and saw a man on the ground. Three others were there, and she immediately called Mayor Stone. I emailed her back and thanked her for her information and told her the water company had been contacted. 10:15. Read October emails, attended city meeting, and will participate in radio check with Commissioner Metcalf.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's a long one. I can go next.
What? Let me, on the Rumpke additional charges, I sent you, I went through and figured it up. What they had done was from July and August, there was a shortage amount on what the difference was from the trash pickup and the dumpster pickup. And what they did was that 46, 45, 60 was. Because I figured it up. And I finally figured out how they did it. But anyhow, Chris had already said that they had forgiven it, but we still had the bill. So anyhow, it's not like they were overcharging us. They were just charging us for back fees that were not previously charged. Okay. All right. Commissioner Adams, go ahead.
All right. My report is September 18th through October 15th. I will participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, October 15th. I received a call from a real estate agent who had a buyer interested in purchasing a property in the city of Worthington Hills. Their client had questions about buying the property and building a second detached garage on the property. Referred the call to Mayor Stone to research and respond. Mayor Stone later responded that he called the real estate agent back and the property in question wasn't a city of Worthington Hills property at all. Received an email from a citizen on Arwine who was wondering if the grass was going to be mowed a final time on Arwine Island before the end of the mowing season. Harold of Maximus Longhair was out of town, so I had my daughter go down and mow Arwine Island. Additionally, when Harold of Maximus Longhair got back in town on October 13th, he mowed, ran the weed eater, and blew off the Arwine Island area. This same citizen doesn't like the bushes we placed on Arwine Island and has requested their removal. I drove the city on several occasions to check on the status of the plants on the landscaping islands. Everything's good. No citizen complaints, damage, trees, or large limbs down that were reported to me after the high wind incident of September 27th. Maximus Lawn Care hasn't reported any new trees or limbs down either. Good news. On October 13th, I verbally requested that Harold of Maximus Lawn Care provide the quote his tree contractor put together for the removal of the trees on the front island. No quote was sent to me by October 14th, so I emailed and asked for it again. Obviously, he didn't respond and give it to us because I did it tonight. Maximus Lawn Care said the remaining dead locust trees will have to be re-quoted by his tree contractor since we didn't accept the original bid when we had the other tree work done. Requested that he have the dead locust tree removal re-quoted so that I can present those numbers at the November city meeting. And that is all.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner.
I have an addendum. I did draw the city 1013 for streetlight tip.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Walton. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Bedell, go ahead.
Okay. 9/18, I submitted my completed related party questionnaire to Angela Morgan at Bramble and Ackley PSC. 9/18, I spoke to Chad Chambers at Miner & Company and asked for a flat rate estimate rather than an hourly rate for winter road maintenance. I did the same also with Goodman. 9:23, spoke with Evan Meyer at Alta Grain about a quote for remarking the 4 speed bumps on Bay Run Drive with thermoplastic. 9:05 through 10:02, I sent the quote to All Terrain, sent the quote from All Terrain to the commission, and I followed up with updates on the project. 10:04, I forwarded the invoice from All Terrain to the city clerk and treasurer. 10:10, I forwarded the flat rate estimates for snow removal I received to the commission. 10:15, attended the city meeting. That's it.
And I have a small agenda. I did the audit stuff with Angela as well. I just didn't include it in my report because it didn't really have to do with property maintenance. So I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't think y'all were going to say that.
Well, and the reason.
But I did mine too.
I need to make this. I want to have this on the record. The reason that I don't. The things that Susan reports about happening in the trade. The reason that they're not on my report is because I don't do that as Commissioner Beville. I do it as.
Yes.
The president of the HOA. I just want to make sure that everybody understands I'm not working on city time doing that other business.
Okay.
Yeah, you wear many hats.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Thank you, Commissioner Beville. Let's hear from Commissioner Metcalf.
I don't know very much. Commissioner Report 10:15:24. Drove city on multiple occasions. Went to post office with Mayor Stone each Friday. Went to storage area with Mayor Stoneham on 3 occasions. Answered 1 phone call concerning solicitors. Conducted radio checks after last city meeting using Channel 12. I used Channel 13 tonight. Answered 2 phone calls during the power outage. One was from a concerned citizen that a generator was too close to their house on their patio. So investigated that and didn't find any unsafe conditions. The person that apparently they thought it was, they weren't actually home and their generator wasn't running. So. But there were several generators running. You couldn't tell whose house it was from the sound.
So they left and they were at
this
generator?
No, it wasn't running. Theirs wasn't running, but there was like 4 or 5 generators running. And from where the person lived and called, it sounded like that
one. It was that one, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
They are loud.
So I talked to some of the residents and they verified. That's it.
That's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Now, we've had so much go on tonight. I have had Deb here to keep me straight. Okay? Hopefully she'll be well. We did vote on... We voted on the tree removal.
Yeah, I'm not going to say how much money, but I'm going to say cut down the locust trees for hopefully around what you quoted originally.
Right.
And cut down the trees on the front islands for the 1980s.
Right.
And I will present the numbers. Hopefully, Harold will have it on his bid or his invoice at the next meeting.
And the irrigation system?
And I will call about the irrigation system.
And you're going to call? Okay, so the irrigation and the water issue has been taken care of. Okay.
If y'all want me to have All Terrain tear up one of those speed bumps, so y'all can put that new sign up.
Is there a water bill
it was $470.
Let me get a picture of the account number.
Is there anything else you want to say about that citizen on our line? Mayor Stoneham, did I pretty much cover everything that she talked to you about? Did she have any additional things?
No, but they just got done cutting the trees down behind her house today. Because I've listened to the shredder machine all afternoon. So she ought to be happy with that.
Everyone is two different things.
And can you just email me an address close to Boyden, or on Boyden, close to that island? Well, maybe they won't need it. I'll let you know. Yeah, but they've really given me a difficult time. I mean, really. Really? Part-time. Yes, they do.
It's a friggin' island. I just don't get it, but, you know, there again, and I do get it, so.
Yeah.
Get you an address real quick.
All right. If there's nothing else, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting? Thank you, Commissioner Maupin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Y'all have a blessed evening.
You too.
It is 8:21.